This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Hala Banani. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. We have been globally grounded by Allah in order for us to face our problems and resolve our issues in our marriages, issues with our children, issues within ourselves and our spiritual issues. And if we don't face these issues, if we don't resolve it, then this calamity may not lift anytime soon. You know, many people have been hiding from their problems, running away from it. They have been either consumed with their work, consumed with their friends, and always going out for entertainment. And now Allah is saying, you know what? Now is the time to face the issues. And you don't have any form of distractions. You can't, you know, you have no excuses. You can't say that you have a business trip. You don't have any events. You have no functions. It's really about just being together 24/7. And it's challenging because I am getting calls and I'm getting messages on a daily basis. Frustrated couples, individuals telling me that they are on a brink of divorce. They cannot take it. Even those individuals who had pretty decent relationships are now completely annoyed at one another. They're telling me that they just can't take it anymore. Their teenagers are frustrated and bored, and there is, you know, lots of fighting over trivial things. So how are we going to do this? It is a difficult task, and it is a challenge to be at home for a change and spend this much time with the people that you have really most likely neglected. Maybe you've oppressed them. Maybe you've betrayed them. And now there's just a lot of negative emotions, and now you have to face them. Now, Allah says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they will be left to say, we believe, and they will not be tried? It's so easy to say, I'm a believer. I have a white heart, قلب الأبيض, right? I am so committed to the deen. But now it's time to demonstrate it. Now we need to show it. This is not a time that someone can fake it, right? You have to really search within and realize that we're being tested, and we need to see how we can pass this test. Now, when it comes to dealing with all this stuff, we got to realize, what can we do to make the home environment more sane? What can we do to avoid the fights? What can we actually do to get along during this time? So my objective is going to be to share with you your bond in marriage. Your bond in marriage and all relationships are actually influenced by your childhood attachments with your parents. I know it all goes back to the parents. We're not blaming the parents. We're just trying to explain and understand what actually happened, okay? And it's about adjusting your expectation. If you don't have a flexible expectation, if you're not resilient, and if you don't adapt, and if you're not flexible, then this is all going to start falling apart really fast. And it's about, how can positive illusion save your marriage? Okay, so most of us fall into three different categories of attachment. This is the attachment we had with our parents. So it's either anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, or secure attachment. The anxious attachment, the way a person ends up is that they are very, very needy and demanding, and they just want more and more. They're very anxious about the relationship. They cannot feel secure because their parents somehow didn't make them feel secure. So they end up being extremely demanding and needy of the people around them. Now, it's actually quite difficult to have a relationship with someone like that, right? Especially if they're paired up with someone who has avoidant attachment. An avoidant attachment is basically a person who just want space and freedom. They don't want to feel confined. They don't want anyone to take away their space. And so imagine if you have this anxious person who need to give me more, 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 and it's paired up with someone who's like, give me space, stay away. And then there is the secure attachment. The secure attachment, this is, of course, the ideal way where you can actually, you're very comfortable with giving, you're comfortable with receiving, you're balanced, you can be, you know, dependent at times, you can be independent. There's no demand and there's no longing for freedom. So this is, you know, it is easy. It is easy to be with someone like that. And so you need to realize that, again, what I said is, we're not here to blame the parents for the kind of attachments that we have, but it's very important to understand it and to find out what kind of attachment do I have? What kind of attachment does my spouse have? And why are we tense all the time? Why is it that, let's say, he's always pushing me away and I'm always trying to get more time? And you can feel this actually even with your children or with anybody. Everyone has a certain attachment style. And once we understand it, then we become a bit more empathetic and then we understand the situation. So if you have a tendency to be anxious where you're very needy and demanding, then try to cut down on that. Try to be a little bit more understanding of the people around you. Maybe show a bit more empathy and lower your demands and requests rather than demand. And if you are avoidant, if you have an avoidant attachment, then try your best to make time for your spouse, right? Like right now, a lot of women will say that, you know, I need quality time. Like that is the number one thing a lot of women have asked for, right? I want quality time. And now, okay, you're getting a lot of time. It's not necessarily quality, right? Because many people are just in their own space, on their own devices, and they're not really attached. They're not really connecting. And so if you have that avoidant attachment style, then you really need to be cognizant of setting aside time where you're really present for your spouse. You're there. You are not on your devices. You are not looking at the computer saying, okay, go ahead. I'm listening, right? So try your best to dedicate some time, show some compassion, and really engage with your family if you have an avoidant style. And if you're secure, keep it up. Okay, that's good. That's good. You don't have too much to work on, just having maybe more understanding for your spouse, because if you have a secure attachment, your spouse may not. And this will make you just be a little bit more understanding of what it is that, you know, you may be going through. So Allah says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah Almighty says, I am as my servant expects of me. If he thinks good of me, he will have it. If he thinks evil of me, he will have it. So this is having the husnudhan of Allah. And we need to have the best expectation and realize that whatever is unfolding, whatever we're going through, you know, you may be absolutely miserable right now. I know, because I talk to people and I see the misery. I see the pitch is up here. They're yelling. They can't take it anymore. They're crying. And so I get that it's a very trying time. And many people are truly struggling financially as well. So it's not just being cooped up in the house and not being able to go out, but then it's like, how am I going to pay for everything? How am I going to manage? And so this is, you know, it's challenging, but we need to realize that it is for some greater good. And when we have that trust, when we have that tawakkul in Allah, then things start falling into place and our hearts are at rest, right? Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that our hearts will find peace in the remembrance of Allah. So we have high expectations of Allah. We think the best of Allah. When it comes to expecting from the people around us, we have to adjust it. We can't have really high expectations of others, because if we do, we're going to set ourselves up to be either disappointed or angry. So it's really critical to go ahead and adjust your expectations. Stop expecting everyone to be perfect, okay? Stop expecting your house to be perfect. Stop having all of these very unrealistic expectations, because what ends up happening when you have these expectations, and most likely no one's going to meet up to those, you know, the expectation of perfection, because it just doesn't exist, then we're all going to be very frustrated. We're going to be annoyed, and it's going to cause a lot of friction. You know, in the attempt of keeping a very nice, clean home, if you end up yelling and screaming and being in a bad mood at the rest of your family members, it's not really worth it. You know, when I interview individuals and I ask them about their childhood, they never tell me about, you know, the fact that the house was really clean. And no, they tell me, well, mom was always yelling, dad was never around, and, you know, we were just very dysfunctional. That's what they remember. They kids remember how you made them feel. So really try to prioritize that connection and adjust your expectation. One of the best advice my mom gave me right before I got married was lower your expectation. She's like, lower it until it becomes to zero, then you're always pleasantly surprised. And that has saved me so many times. So many times different events would come up and you have, let's say, different expectations for, are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? Whether it's about your in-laws or whether about the spouse or friends. And you have this expectation. And, you know, the other person may make an attempt, but they only get up to here. What's going to happen? You're going to be disappointed and sad and upset. But when you lower your expectation, what ends up happening is that you are pleasantly surprised all the time. You're pleasantly surprised. So it's really magical, magical advice. God bless my mom for teaching me that. And I apply it in every relationship, and it really affects the relationships. So, you know, we need to make sure that we are disconnecting from our devices, from social media, from the news, for God's sake. Stop watching the news all day long. I know that it's very addictive. I know that, you know, you're just, you know, the fear, you're fear motivated and you just want the latest information. But, you know, getting all that information, the number of deaths, the number of cases from one country to another country, this state to that state, it's really psychologically overwhelming. We're not accustomed to getting this many bad news in at one go. And this is going to start causing anxiety and depression. And what I'm concerned about is that it may also lead to paranoia, and it may also lead to obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, there is a mental health pandemic, and it is unfolding before my eyes. Every person that I talk to, I am seeing traces of this. And so we really need to be aware of our mental health. We need to make sure that we are disconnecting. There is a time you just have to have a normal life. Go outside. After work today, I walked outside, and it was a beautiful day, beautiful, lovely day, and just everything felt normal. We need to feel normal. You can't be cooped up in the house watching this news that is just causing you so much stress. So try your best to disconnect, you know, get updated once or twice a day, and then connect with your family. Connect. I mean, really connect, right? Because when I talk to couples, they tell me, well, yeah, he's home, you know, because the man's like, well, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. What's the problem? It's like, he's not present. He's not emotionally present. He's just physically there, but he's somewhere else. He's either on his phone or is on his laptop or is watching movies, or, you know, she could be doing the same thing. So it's really about connecting with your children, connecting with your spouse, and having that time to really reflect. I mean, all of us need that comfort right now. We all need comfort. We all need that support. And remember what Allah says, that وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, right? Allah has put this love and mercy, and we need to demonstrate it, right? Because these are the things that we have been taught, that we know, and it's the time to apply it. Because this is when it really counts. When everything is easy, when life is good, when you're making lots of money and you have your health and there's no fear, it's so easy to say tawakkul ala Allah, right? Be in good spirits, be patient, sister, right? But when you are tested, when everything in your life is shaken, then that's when the iman has to come up. That's when we have to show that, yes, I do believe and I do have husnuddin of Allah and I will make it through this, right? So make sure that in this time that you are, you know, definitely very stressed out, watching all this news, you're worried about your work, finances, what ends up happening is that you take it out on your loved ones, right? We always end up taking it out on our loved ones. We keep our beautiful character, our charm, our patience, and, you know, that gregarious personality, we keep it for the others. And at home, we have this, like, you know, private edition of being a monster, right? So we need to change that. We really need to change that and really come to terms with how we're treating these people, because these are the ones who really count. These individuals, your spouse, your kids, they need to admire you. They need to love you. They need to think you're amazing. And if they don't, then that means there's work to be done, right? Nothing to get, you know, bent out of shape about, but just say, you know what? Now is the time. Whatever project you spend time on, that's the project that gets good, right? Some people are very dedicated to their bodies. They work out, they eat healthy, and it shows. Some people, it's all about their home, cleaning it, organizing it, whatever it is, and it shows, right? Other people, they're very dedicated to their work or their education. So whatever you spend time on and you put genuine effort, you're going to see results. And it's just that many people have just kind of ignored their wife. They've ignored their husbands. They've ignored their kids. And that's why things are the way they are. So don't get discouraged and just make sure you're not taking out your frustration, your fear on your spouse and your children. Really be careful about that. And think before you speak. You know, this is one of the most important things anyone could ever do. I mean, if you can get a big poster, get a big, you know, canvas, think before you speak. And just plant that in your mind where you don't blurt out things to the people that you love, because it really is hurtful. I mean, I have heard some really horrible things being said to one another, like things you cannot take back. And people will say, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it. But it's already out there. It's already been said. The heart has already been scarred. So we really need to think before we speak. And also think before you blame, right? A lot of times what people end up doing is that there's the fundamental attribution error. Fundamental attribution error, which is if you make a mistake, right? If we make a mistake about ourselves, what we do, we attribute it to some temporary external circumstance. So let's say, oh, I lost my temper. It's because I was in quarantine. So that's why I lost my temper. But if your spouse does the same thing, right? What do you do? Then the theory says that we end up attributing actually a internal flaw on that person. So it's more like, oh, they lost their temper because they have no self-control. You see how it becomes a more like a flaw, an internal flaw. So you're just like attacking that person and you're saying they're just like, they're all bad, right? But then for yourself, you're like, oh, I'm so innocent. You know, I'm just stressed. And it's always really disheartening when someone has a double standard. You know, when you apply certain things to yourself, but then you don't apply it to others, that's just not acceptable. And everyone will get frustrated if they experience this. So be very careful about doing this. And they actually did a study in the year 2000 and they saw couples' attribution styles, okay? And they followed individuals and they saw that those who attributed the negative internal flaw, right? And they attributed that to their spouse, then that actually that led to greater marital dissatisfaction and higher likelihood for divorce. So just the fact that you all of a sudden attribute internal flaws to your spouse, that's going to be like, okay, there's more likelihood that you'll get a divorce. So stop doing that. Stop blaming your spouse and just seeing them as like this bad person. And they have actually they have seen that positive illusion. That's where you kind of overlook the negative quality. We all have it, right? Every single one of us. We have our good traits. We've got our negative traits, right? What do you want your spouse to focus on you, right? What do you want your husband or your wife to focus on? Do you want them to sit there and list your negative traits, which are there, or would you prefer them to hone in on those good traits, right? There are some couples, they're actually quite fair. They will come and they'll say, you know what? My spouse has these really great traits. They're wonderful. You know, they're very intelligent. They're very compassionate. They are very giving, but you know, they're very demanding and they're very, you know, they are very, maybe like rude or whatever it is, right? Sometimes people are able to see good, both qualities. Other times though, things get so bad that people stop reporting on any good. So, you know, I will talk to the husband. All he says is all the bad things about his wife, and I talk to the husband and all he says is all the bad things about his wife, right? And it's not accurate, right? Because every one of us has the positive traits, we have the negative traits, and we really need to just focus. And so this positive illusion is you overlook the negative qualities. Not that you pretend they're not there, you overlook it. You see it. Okay, I know it's there. But let's overlook it. Now, if you can't overlook it and it's just like it's in your face, then just keep quiet about it, right? There are some people who just love to poke. They just, you know, they just love to, like, whatever they see, they want to see it and they want to poke the bear. And just that's a really childish game to play, right? So overlook, see the positive, and refrain from talking negatively about it, because what ends up happening every time you have that negative image of your spouse, every time you have those thoughts that, you know, this person is all bad and they're internally evil. I've had people tell their wife that they're just like, they're evil and they're the shaitan and all sorts of things, right? And if you really, you say that over and over again, eventually you're going to believe it and you're going to start, it's going to definitely affect the way that you feel about them, right? And what you really need to realize is that kindness and positivity is contagious, right? So yes, the virus is contagious. We have to get rid of the virus in our heart, right? We have so many diseases of the heart. We have so much that we have to be careful of. We have to get rid of the virus that it's in our ego. The ego is just, it's out of control, right? And Allah has brought us all down to our knees and humbled us, has humbled us and humbled our egos, because no matter who a person is, right? Whether they're the president of a country, they're a prime minister, whether, you know, whoever they are. And no matter how much money they have, they're being infected. And so this is really a humbling experience for all of us, and it should be. And we really need to reflect, what is it that I need to improve? How can I change myself in this situation? And so we do have to worry about those viruses of our heart, virus of our ego, but also know that kindness and positivity is very contagious. I see the effect. Just like negativity is contagious, someone's negative, someone's whining, someone's sitting there and complaining, and that's just going to, it is going to be, it's like black ink on a person. You know, it just kind of gets over you, right? The same thing is with positivity. Positivity and kindness, you show that to others, and it really will cause them to, it causes a ripple effect. And so what I ask for us to do is to, inshallah, look at this period of time, this time that we are grounded by Allah, right? To face our problems, to see that we have no, right now, we can't have distractions. It's like we can't go anywhere. We can't travel. We can't even go to restaurants and movies. And it's just all, we can't even visit family or friends. It's all about the core, right? The nucleus family. And even if you're alone, right? There's internal work that needs to be done. I guarantee every single person has internal work. I don't care how educated, how religious, how amazing a person is. The more amazing they are, the more they have to work on themselves, because then at the same time, it's like about managing the ego as well, right? So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And so during this time, we really need to just take advantage of the time, take advantage of the fact that you have everyone at home, and really just purify your intention, you know, because innama al-amalu bin-niyyat, if you are staying at home just because, like, I'm stuck and I can't go and this is horrible, and you just have a negative attitude about it, then nothing good is going to come out of it. You are going to feel like this is a prison sentence, and you're going to just whine and complain, and you're going to gain itham after itham after itham. You're just going to compile sins, right? Because, you know, I want you to think about, what were you complaining about prior to all this, right? Let's say 5 months ago, when life was beautiful, when we had all that freedom, when we could travel and we could go places, what were you complaining about? I'm sure many people, people complain about the weather. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too dry. It's too wet. It's too, you know, then you start complaining about where you are, where you live, your work, complaining about going to work. Oh, it's Monday and I have to go to work. Oh, I have to drop off the kids. All of these things that we complained about, it's like Allah took them all away, right? And what I want us to reflect on, because now we're longing for those things. Like, it's okay. Bring it back. I'm not going to complain. I won't complain about the school drop-offs. That was a blessing, right? I won't complain about the long lines in restaurants or crowded malls. I won't complain anymore. But what are you complaining about right now? What are you complaining about? The fact that you're at home and that you have a home and you have food and you have family and you have people. We are still complaining. We are. And this is going to be problematic, because what I fear is that if we don't appreciate the things we have right now, then more things may be taken away, right? So this is something that I would always tell my children, is that if you don't show enough gratitude, if you're not focused on the things that you have, Allah will take it away. And we are being faced with that. We've seen it. It's a reality. It is a reality. It's surreal, right? It feels like a sci-fi movie, right? And we're ready to just, like, you know, or bad nightmare. Well, we don't want to talk about it being a nightmare. You know what? Because I am seeing some incredible changes. I am seeing within my community that I work with, I am seeing individuals that are actually having the right mindset. They have learned about embracing change. They have learned about, you know, I've been teaching about emotional intelligence. I've been teaching about how to have positivity and the power of visualization, all of these things. And now at this stage of their life where they are under a gruesome test, they're actually thriving. So this is the power of knowing how to deal with these things. Like, so if you prepare yourself mentally, then you are able to actually learn to thrive and not see it as a nightmare, not see it as a life sentence or a prison sentence. And inshallah, all of us can, you know, just gather up all that courage, all the iman, all that we have been doing, those years and years of Taraweeh, those years and years of attending classes, those weekend classes. You know, people are so excited about, you know, whether it's reading books or going to classes or getting a degree, whatever it is. And, you know, for a lot of people it was like, check, 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 right? It's like about completing it. But we really now need to focus on internalizing it. Internalize the prayer, internalize the dhikr, internalize all of those acts. Don't make it a ritual anymore and make it affect your heart, so that if you affect your heart in that way, you are going to be in a better state of mind to be able to relate to your family, to be a better leader, to be a better mu'min. And that is our goal. Our goal is to get through this, not just surviving. We want to thrive, and we want to be able to earn the highest ranks in Jannah because of the way we handled this, right? This is, you know, this we're going to see who is going to be the valedictorian, who is going to graduate with honors, who is going to have honorable mention because of the way they dealt with the pandemic. So let's all be focused and let's get those A's, right? Let's get the A's from the kind of parent that we are, the kind of spouse that we are, the way we deal with one another. Let's earn it. Let's earn our Jannah with the way we're interacting with each other. I pray that Allah protects all of you and protects all of us. And I pray that if any of you are infected with the virus, may Allah cure you and help you to be so patient. This is a very trying time. I think we're all getting news about, you know, different people who have gotten the virus and passed away. And I think one of the most difficult aspects of this is that once someone is hospitalized, you can't even go in, you can't visit them, you can't be by their bedside, you can't even possibly pray janazah on them. And so this is going to be a very challenging test. So if any of you have gone through that, may Allah ease your heart and really raise the rank. You know, we may not be able to give a big janazah. There may not be, you know, lots of people. And I know we all want that. We want the righteous people to be praying on us, but the angels, the malaika will be praying on your loved ones, Ya Rab. And may Allah protect all of us and help us to do our absolute best during this time. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.